Good morning. I'm going to pray first of all. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Are we nearly there yet? When will we be there? This is a very often the persistent cry from the back seat when the family are on a long distance journey. As Christians, we are encouraged to be persistent in prayer. Be intentional in what we pray for, whether it is a change in a situation or that a loved one we pray for so hard would turn to Christ and know his loving care for them. That beautiful story of the lost sheep is illustrated on our altar frontal. So you'll see that very clearly when you go up for communion. We hear of the persistence of the shepherd in risking his safety, possibly his life, as he sets out in the gathering darkness at the end of the day to search the surrounding countryside where he and his flock had covered during the sunlit hours of the day. He has counted his sheep into the sheepfold, and one is missing. He leaves the 99 and he goes to look in the steep and dangerous places where the sheep may have fallen or got trapped. That's very comforting, that he goes after the one and that all are included in his love. What is more, there's great rejoicing when the one sheep is found. Luke tells us that tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, to the dismay of the scribes and Pharisees who Jesus addresses in this parable. He compares them to a shepherd, challenging them to give priority over their religious duties to searching out just one of God's lost sheep. By contrast, Jesus was patient with the tax collectors and the sinner and sinners, seeing their potential to repent and change. Now the writer of Psalm 23 rejoiced to call God his shepherd, yet by Jesus' time, this would have been very controversial because shepherds were outcasts in Jewish society. They lived with their flocks night and day in the open, and they were not free to visit the temple regularly, if at all, nor could they obey the rules of holy living required by the priests. We may be able to understand a God who would forgive sinners who came to him for mercy, but a God who tenderly searches for them and then joyfully forgives them must possess an extraordinary love. This is the kind of love that prompted Jesus to come to earth to search for lost people and save them. This is the kind of extraordinary love that God has for you and for me. If you feel far from God today, don't despair. He's searching for you. He has you in your photograph in his picture book, as Helen would say. In our second reading from his letter to Timothy, Paul shares what God has done for him. God transformed his life from a destroyer of the teaching of Jesus and a fanatical persecutor of Christians to a Christian believer on fire to share the gospel of salvation and the hope of eternal life with as many people and nations as he could physically reach. He continues to be intensely grateful that through God's amazing love, grace, and mercy, he's forgiven and has been chosen to tell his story as an example of unlimited patience of Christ Jesus in calling him into the fellowship of believers as an apostle through his dramatic conversion. Now, what is your story? The story of how you came to follow Jesus. A story of, once I was like this, but by grace, God's grace, I'm now like that. It is your personal testimony that will attract non-believers much more than theology and creeds. Sorry, Alison. Many people are seeking heart experience rather than head knowledge. Now, I offer this with an open hand. For myself, I was brought up by Christian parents in the northeast of Scotland, confirmed at 15, and always trusted that I was a child of God. Church worship and sacraments were, and still are, an important part of my life. I was a sacramental Christian who longed to see the Holy Spirit working in power in his church, as he did in the book of Acts. I'd had a clear word in a dream to build his church, and I completed reader training in 2004. However, it was not until 2005, when I was preparing for a session of Alpha, that I came to the realization that I'd not truly given my life to Christ. Alongside this, I had recently learned that gifts of the Spirit did not float down from above. If you were good enough, you had to ask God for them. So that afternoon in October, I knelt down by my bed. I confessed my sins that I had never faced up to before or confessed before, and I had a great sense of freedom and thankfulness. Then I gave my life to Christ, and I asked God to fill me with his Holy Spirit, and lastly, for gift of tongues and the gift of healing. I'm greedy like that. As I knelt, I felt God affirming that I would speak in tongues, but I thought possibly sometime in the future. But as I stood up, waves that felt like electricity, like a thin stream, passed right through me. My head was full of a bright light, and words poured out of my mouth. I stood looking out of the bedroom window, listening to this new heavenly language with a mixture of joy and amazement. From then onwards, I know that God is living and active today, and I felt equipped to preach at last and pray with people for healing and whatever God asked of me. God is very gracious. He gives his gifts to old ladies of a certain age, as well as to the young and trendy. Now, your story may be different, but it's equally valid, because God made each of us in a different and special way, and he has a kingdom ministry for each of us, without exception. We need to share this with others, what God has done in our lives, when he prompts us. As well as being persistent in prayer, that those whom God has laid on our hearts will come to know the Lord, we are called to be persistent in pursuing our calling from God. Whatever it is God is calling us to do, to partner with him in the building of the kingdom of heaven where we live. God may have given you a heart to help the homeless in the local drop-in center, help the asylum seekers, seek justice for those trapped in slavery or prostitution, to help run the new church playgroup, or help the social group for the elderly. God may have encouraged you to change jobs or given you an opportunity you had never thought of. A young couple came to St. Margaret's a few years ago. The wife was a Christian, but her husband was not yet. The husband went on the Alpha course, and with encouragement from the men in our congregation and his wife, he became a Christian. At the time, he traveled long distances to a job he did not enjoy. Then recently, the opportunity came to join the big church day out team with offices nearby, and now he loves his new job. It was a real answer to prayer, as this young couple trust in God's provision. The greatest enemy of each of us playing our part in the kingdom building is drift. Drift is when we know in our heart what we are being called to do, something in particular, speak to someone or support someone in a particular way, and then putting it off. No one actually says to God, "No, I won't do such and such," but they just do not get around to it, saying to themselves, "I'm really busy today. I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next week." We have to be positively persistent and lovingly purposeful to carry out that call of God we hear in our hearts and that will not go away. So maybe like me, you need to pray to combat drift and cultivate loving persistence to follow through, with the help of his Holy Spirit, what God has asked of us. I'll finish with St. Paul's words to Timothy. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, O only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen."